Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hello and welcome to this week's episode of The Climax, the sex podcast with Angelica Malin and Rebecca Reed. I'm Rebecca Reed.
And I'm Angelica Malin.
That's why it's the podcast with Angelica Malin and Rebecca Reed.
Because that's who we are. So this week we are talking about safe sex. So that is protecting yourself contraceptive wise and also protecting your heart. So we're talking about casual sex, friends with benefits situations, and basically how you can have a really happy and healthy sex life. We are joined today by Felicity Morse, who is a life coach and soon to be author, and Samantha Baines, comedian, and we are going to be chatting to them all about safe sex. In this part of the show, we talk about sex toys, kindly sponsored by Lilo. We try out different products every week. Bexy, what have you been trying this week?
So this week, I tried the Mia 2. It's a vibrator. It's basically a bullet, but it's such a smart little bullet. And I think the best way to explain it is, it's the exact vibrator that you, like Samantha Jones, would put in her handbag mm-hmm. to go on like a sex date. I'm obviously not the kind of person who wanders around with like a really chic little clutch with a vibrator in it. But if I were, it would be this one. So it's sort of about maybe 3.5 inches long. It's pink, but it comes in other colours. And what's so great about it is that you can pull one end off, like the lid of a pen, and plug it into a USB. So you charge it directly through your computer if you want to.
Wow, that's cool.
My computer doesn't have a USB slot, so what you can do is you just take the plug
Welcome to 2018. What you do is you just take the plug from an
Apple charger, take the wire out and stick it in, and then you can literally just charge it pretty much straight from the wall. Charges incredibly quickly, holds a charge really well. In terms of the vibration, it's quite like a sharp vibration. I tend to favour more of a rolling, like a softer rolling vibration that's deeper. This is more of a sharp, intense one. Different people like different things. This isn't my sort of my usual choice, but actually I found it worked really well even so. It's a perfect thing to use sort of during penetrative sex. You can slip it between you. It's very small, very discreet. It's the perfect way, I think, to sort of introduce sex toys to your relationship. So you're sleeping with somebody for a little while, you go over to their house, you maybe want to involve a toy. It's no big deal. Taking it out's not going to scare anybody. It's not huge. You can just bring it in, involve it in your sort of foreplay, and there you go. It's perfect.
It's not like bringing out like a massive dildo or something like that. It's quite discreet.
Yeah, which is not necessarily the place to start for bringing sex toys into the bedroom. And I think people will be hard pushed to have any issue with it. It's $54.90. That's without our discount, which is the code Lilo for you. So it's not cheap, but I would say that I've bought like multiple bullets in my life, and actually it's better to get an expensive one that lasts, otherwise you end up spending £10 every 6 months and it all adds up. And Lilo products generally last really, really well.
Well, I've tried something quite different. So I tried the Inner Wave, which is $149.99 from Lilo.com. It is basically a dual action rabbit, so there's a bit that goes inside you and there's a bit that goes on your clit, and the kind of USP of the product is that it has a wave motion.
So it's like beckoning towards someone.
So like a come hither, come hither, just, you know what they tell boys, like, this is how you find the G-spot, use your come hither motion. So this is what the toy does, and the idea is it's meant to kind of recreate, like, a lover's fingers is what they describe it as, but that's what it's meant to feel like. And it's really effective in that respect. It does very much feel, it felt for me like the closest to something sensual that would be with a partner.
Does it vibrate as well, or is it a back and forward motion?
So the clit bit vibrates, and then there's the back and forward motion. You have to, what I would say about it is, I don't think it's for everyone, because just the way in which the clit bit is like set, so you can't move it. So the lack of flexibility means like it's not going to work work for everyone's bodies, and it also needs a bit of like playing around to get it on the right bits of your body to feel really good. So if you're looking for something where you just like put it in and go, it's you do have to work with it a bit more, but I think it can be quite rewarding because it feels really good when you get it right.
If you're somebody who like really likes the rabbit model, do you think that's probably like an interesting thing to try, if the rabbit's like your favorite kind of vibrator?
Definitely. I think it's more effective for like G-spot pleasure than most normal rabbits are, because it has that waving technology. And like you said, with Lilo, they're really like dependable products, they charge really quickly, and they feel really luxurious. So those £150, like, I felt like it was a really like high-end sex toy and the kind of thing that would be a nice gift.
Yeah, I think the thing with Lilo is that it's a kind of, and I've always felt this way, it's like investing in your sex life. And there's nothing wrong with wanting to buy cheaper, more disposable products. But when you get to the stage where you stop shopping at Primark and you start shopping at Whistles, you kind of do the same thing with your sex life. You stop buying the cheapy bullet vibrators and you start going for something a bit more high end.
Yeah, and I think something like this is like a great purchase if you're looking to invest a bit more. I was interested in what other people thought of it, because I did feel like you had to work a little bit with it to get it feeling right with your body. So I went on Amazon to see what other kind of reviews, and I felt like that was very much represented in what other people were saying. There were some hilarious reviews. I've just got to read a couple of them out. There was one in particular where the subject of the Amazon review is more impressive than the Elder Wand, and he basically, quite possibly the most impressive technology in the vibrator industry, this guy writes. Supple, ergonomically pleasing and gently contoured, basically just not a waste of money is what he's saying. And someone else wrote in the subject line, she obviously didn't need me anymore, so I'm assuming the thing worked a bit too good. And in it he writes, the girl I bought it for dumped me, she obviously didn't need me anymore, so I'm assuming the thing worked very well. So this is the kind of toy that actually makes people break up. It's so good.
I now have so many questions about the Elder Wand.
At least we see the Elder Wand in a totally different light. So if you're interested in any of those toys, they are available on lilo.com, and you can use the code LILO4U for 20% off.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term medical plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term medical plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
And now, a word from our sponsor.
The Climax is brought to you in association with intimate brand Lilo. Swedish-born Lilo is one of the world's leading brands for designer-led intimate products. From high-quality pleasure objects to bedroom accessories, candles and condoms, they've got something for everyone. Lilo is a little like us, driven by an insatiable curiosity, a desire to explore and refine the boundaries between sex and the 21st century.
Lilo is all about the quality. A heritage brand based on craft, unexpected innovation and being entirely different from everything and anyone else. For more information and to explore your own sexual desire, visit www.lilo.com, and we're offering an exclusive discount for the Climax listeners. Use the code LILO4U to receive 20% off products. Thank you to our sponsors, Lilo.
So we're going to be talking about safe sex in terms of your body and your health, but also about your heart and your emotions. And we've got two wonderful women joining us who are now going to introduce themselves.
I'm Felicity Morse. I've just written a book called Give a Fuck. I write about sex and relationships, and I'm also a life coach.
I'm Samantha Baines. I'm a multi-hyphenate in that I am a comedian, actress, poet, author and broadcaster. I don't give anyone advice about sex, but I definitely want to. And I do stand up about vaginas mainly.
Amazing. That is so many hyphens. I'm quite jealous.
I think that you might have out-hyphened everyone.
I think that's more hyphens than we've ever had.
Yeah.
Really?
And also, you should say, where is your book available if anybody wants to buy it?
My book is available at Waterstones and on Amazon.
There you go. So if you would like to buy it, that's where you get it. So
I also, if we're talking about books, I also have a poetry book, which is available in Waterstones and Amazon, called Poetry. Poetry. stupid rhymes.
We like to encourage people to sell things on the podcast.
Yes, please.
Great.
Please promote yourself heavily.
Well, no, because honestly, whenever we do talks, sometimes women are very like, I wrote a book and it wasn't very good, but I suppose you could buy it if you wanted to, but you please don't feel you have to. And I feel like it's important to be like, no, I wrote it and it was great and you should buy it.
Exactly. Owning it. Exactly.
Yeah, yes. I like that. I'm sure Felicity's book is better than mine because mine really is quite silly, but you should definitely buy it.
We're definitely not playing that game.
No, but I think people...
We're definitely not playing that I'm much worse than the game.
People should buy my book. I'm just promising that it's definitely not worthy in any way, and it's very silly.
Yeah, I also have a book out, by the way, guys. You should buy that too. So let's talk about the emotional side of safe sex. So putting aside for a second contraception, has anybody here ever attempted like a friends with benefit or casual sex arrangement?
Oh my god, this is my arena, because I have only just been in a relationship, as like a committed monogamous relationship, for like 6 years. So before that, I was just basically experimenting with different types of arrangements you could have.
So like auditing all the options to see what you liked.
Right, totally.
Sex accountant.
Yeah, I like it.
Like, and I called them containers, right? So you'd be in a container with one person and you'd say, okay, well, this is how I like it. This is what I want. You know, so for one person, I said, well, I don't want you to get with any of my friends, or I want you to check in with me if you're going to make out with somebody you think that I know. For somebody else, it was like, okay, we don't go on dates, you come over, we have sex, and I want to be able to specify a time by which you leave.
This sounds great.
I mean, it sounds very empowered, I must say. Like laying down exactly what you want.
But then I've always been told by sort of proper sex experts, as opposed to me, who sort of pretends to be a sex expert, that communication is the way that you make things like that work. And if you're clear about your boundaries and your barriers, you can do these things. But if you're not clear about your boundaries, your barriers, that's where it starts to become a problem.
I think so. I think also it's so important to get the after, to work out what you want after sex,
mm-hmm.
before sex. Like, that's the bit that historically I've had some issues with, where I've just kind of left it open.
Do you ever, like, directly after sex want to be left alone? Not just you, anyone.
Well, but, you know, they say... Yes.
Sometimes like, leave now. I'm quite into, and I'm married, and I sometimes am like, yeah, you go have that shower. Bed for me. And I think that's quite a nice...
I think there's a thing in Tantra where they say you should go move 7 miles away from your partner.
I've never heard that. That's amazing.
Yeah, just to, like, separate, because you come together so close that you need to, like, then put some physical space between you.
Guys, there's an app there, like an Uber for post-sex. He'll drive them 7 miles away.
Still naked, covered in cum.
Absolutely, you've got to be naked.
Yeah, not the 7 miles things works when you're married.
Well, I don't. Well, maybe that's why we need a country house.
Maybe you need to send them on a 7 mile run every Sunday.
I don't know. You just have to be rich and have a really big house.
Yeah. I'm 7 miles of house.
Yeah, I'm married. And
how long have you been married?
2 years. Okay, and we've been together 8 years. But I think you get to the stage where you're like, that was a lovely sex. Now we'll get on with our day. So, like, we'll have our showers and then, like, go on our phones or watch a film.
I also like to say that, like, I basically want it to stop when I feel like I've had enough, which sounds really basic and of course, but I think, like, there's this idea that, like, it finishes when he comes.
Yes.
And, you know, actually having had sex with lots of tantra people as well, who apparently, especially the men, don't like to climax, they just... I don't remember the first time I was like, oh, when will this finish?
Somebody started a rumour sometime, and probably the 1800s, that women like to have sex for as long as humanly possible.
God.
And it's not true.
No. You get friction burn in your vag.
Yes. And it's a bit boring eventually. Like, I would say, like, 10, 15 minutes of penetration is lovely. That's my perfect amount. I don't want to go on for 3 hours because I'm tired.
I don't think... So my personal preference is no penetration until I absolutely, definitely am begging for it.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, you know, I have to be like the penetration, I think, of like, have you ever tried to get a cat out from under the car?
I've tried to put a cat in a carrier, which I think is a similar experience.
Well, so I sometimes like explain this to men and I say like, look, like, I don't get to experience, like, having, or I actually think lots of women don't get to experience, like, having desire, like, actually, you know, like, having their desire and, like, having it out, because as soon as, like, a woman flashes, like, even, like, a tiny amount, like, the man, like, comes, like, so close into her that, like, she never gets to actually experience it. And it's like, okay, you, instead of trying to, like, come and get me, I'm the cat under the car.
Okay.
Instead of trying
pussy to... Pussy reference. Yeah.
Right, okay. Yeah, pussy reference.
I didn't even make a joke there. I just wanted pussy reference.
I just like saying the word
to be aware that a joke could have been made. Yeah,
exactly.
I saw the opportunity and I avoided it.
Let the record show.
This was a script insert pussy
That's
reference.
Where there'd be a joke. So you're the pussy under the car.
Yeah, just stand there with your tin of tuna looking attractive. Don't come in and try and pull me out.
Do you know what? I actually really get what you're saying. I think very often with sex, you start from the penisy bit and then you kind of try and catch up to the level of arousal that they are with their erection.
Right.
And that's actually not the most fun way to do it. You kind of want to build up to that.
Don't you sometimes just want a quickie with, like, no foreplay, yes, just in and out?
But also sometimes, and I'm not proud of this, I view it as a sort of achievement for the week. Like, well, I haven't done any of my invoicing, but we did have sex 3 times, so our marriage is not dead and I am doing well.
Everything's
and
that's not well.
3 times in a week is great.
How long have you been married? Year and a half. But I have this very toxic thing that I try to get away from, where I believe that the frequency with which we have sex is a sort of achievement.
Yeah.
And actually, I know it'd be much better to have sex once a week, but really, like, get into it and enjoy it and take our time than to be doing it being like, oh, it's been a few days, I'm
like
failing.
The numbers being the measurement, basically.
Yeah.
It's good to vary it, though. You don't want to have a deep and meaningful every time.
Definitely not.
I know that, like, the more I have sex, the more I want it, or rather, the more I orgasm, the more I want it.
Mm.
Whereas, like, the less I do, you know, it's like
I'm similar. I, like, I'm a sex camel, like, I store it in my heart. I don't have it for a while. I don't need it anymore.
Right, but then suddenly I find myself getting very irritable and everything seems to be, like, quite tight and annoying in my life. And I think at that point, actually, I need a climax, or I need to orgasm, or I need some touch.
I have sex dreams, so I know I haven't had enough orgasms if I start, like, dreaming about really intense sexual situations. Yeah.
Because I can, and I think it's my greatest skill.
Yeah, I have
amazing.
I have two degrees, and they are nothing to my ability to orgasm while sleeping. Because it's so productive. Like, I've woken up, I've already had a wank while sleeping.
And you feel so, like, refreshed.
Yeah, I can fully orgasm in my sleep.
Can we brag here?
Yeah.
Okay, I can squirt without being touched.
That's actually very impressive. That's
really impressive.
Huh? Like, just
also a bit intimidating. <It's> like...
It's
very impressive. I knew somebody who could come from having their nipples touched, and I was just so, I thought it was amazing.
Wow. Like, we're so, like, quick and easy. Superhuman.
I know.
I'm really impressed that you can come in your sleep, because that's like coming without touch.
I presume I'm, like, squeezing my thighs together or something. I don't know. But do you ever
feel guilty when you wake up? Sometimes, if it's been a really good dream, I sometimes feel guilty because I've had sex with some amazing man in my dream.
I know that one where you have, like, the most luscious dream and it wasn't with your partner.
And then you turn over and your husband's just there, snoring in your face.
Have this incredibly frustrating thing where... a lot of the time I'll be having a dream and I'll be about to fuck somebody in my dream, and then I'll be like, no, I can't cheat on Marcus because I don't know it's a dream, and then I don't do it. And I've had it with several celebrities who I fancy very, very much, who I probably will never get to have real sex with because my stupid subconscious overrides it.
It's not amazing, it's stupid. I never do that.
I'm always like, bring it on.
I have a very lax moral compass. This is not like me at all.
So there was a really interesting thing with what you're saying. Well, I was interested by it, but it was about myself, sorry. So I did this open relationship, or, like, relationship research for kind of like a month, where we were friends already, and it was open. We set up, like, how we wanted to go about having, like, our main counts or whatever. And at first, like, I was, you know, I thought I would get jealous of him doing it.
Mm-hmm.
But then when I went to have a makeout, I like almost couldn't do it. Like I
really
vomited. Like I was like trying to bring him, being like, "It's gonna be okay, isn't it? It's gonna be okay. It's gonna be okay.
I can do this."
But yeah. So
do you now? Do you think that's because you've been conditioned to think that it's wrong, or do you think there's something like inherently inside you that doesn't want to like cheat, air quotes, on people?
I think it's the conditioning of like doing it consciously, and it's really, and like him knowing and like having to face that.
How was he with it? Like when he
was all right with it, you know, like he'd done this sort of thing before, so he was okay with it. Like he was a bit jealous, but not like totally, you know, in red or like going out of control.
I think open relationships are a really, really tricky area. So I had a polyamorous relationship for 4.5 years, and I think the main thing I learned from that is that I'm a very naturally monogamous person. I'm not good at being in an open relationship because I am a very single focused sort of person, and what happened was if I started seeing somebody else, my whole focus would be on them and I wouldn't be able to maintain my sort of longer overarching relationship,
right? And like ambient attention or whatever.
It's very hard. And also the problem that I think the conclusion I came to, having, because I was in this very polyamorous sort of friendship group of lots of people all dating lots of people, and the thing is they just kept breaking up, and the conclusion we came to is that you're never going to be able to compete with like the adrenaline rush of somebody being new. Like your husband having washed the floor is never going to be as sexy as this guy you've never slept with before biting your neck. Like those two things are never going to be able to compete. So if you allow yourself to fall for people over and over again, I think it broadly speaking does probably take the shine off your longer relationship. But some people make it work.
Yeah, I couldn't do it. I think I get really obsessed with things. Like for a really long time I was so obsessed with hummus. I literally had it. I know that's silly, but like I was properly obsessed with hummus. And like when I'm in a relationship, like when I first met my husband, like we moved in together after like 4 weeks. And
really?
Like, yeah, I'm a really intense person. So I couldn't split that because I don't have enough attention to split that onto two people. But I had an open relationship before I was married, and the only thing that worked, a kind of, you know, friend with benefits, the only thing that worked for me was that I kind of didn't like him that much.
Yeah.
So I was literally just using him for sex, and he was exactly the same.
So your heart's kind of already protected by not really caring.
Yeah. Like I didn't, like he was a nice guy, but we wouldn't have like chats or conversation. Yeah. Literally be like,
that's what makes it
done,
less complicated.
Leave.
If you've got genuine feelings on and then they're going off and sleeping with someone else, yeah, it all gets quite messy.
I think the problem is, my previous boyfriend who I had that very long polyamorous relationship with, he had this thing like, he was like, I'm never going to date anybody else, but I will, you know, have casual sex with other people. And I was like, yeah, that's all well and good. But then eventually he was sleeping with this girl casually and she came over for dinner and for sex, but then they were both quite tired, so they watched something like Secret Millionaire together. And I was like, see, that for me is what's transcended the boundary. You are no longer just having casual sex. You had a curry and watched Secret Millionaire.
Yeah.
That's my territory. Mm. I own that.
Mm. And I think it's like intimate moments.
And you can put as many rules and boundaries in the places as you want, but those things are sort of likely to creep in, and then you have to learn to deal with that if you want to.
So she came to your house?
Oh no, this is my previous boyfriend. It was his house.
I do think those things are a bit like a full-time job.
Yes!
Like it's full-time personal development work.
Do you know
really?
What I actually really notice is that the polyamorous relationships that I know generally work between people who do not have jobs. And that is because it is a full-time job, and if you can waste time fucking around with the Google diary being like, right, so we have to go to here on Thursday, but then we have to go here on Friday, but then when are we going to spit roast, then that's going to be a problem. But,
right, and when are we going to have the chat?
Yeah, exactly. So I think if you have space and time, then fine, but if you don't, then maybe not.
Is there anyone that either of you would unsleep with if you can't? Anyone that you just really just full on regret? Weeps.
I know there are lots of times I have said yes to sex and I meant no. And there are lots of times that I said no to sex and I wanted to say yes.
Why do you think the former, saying yes when you don't really want to, I totally understand. But the saying no when you quite like to, what's the, is that because you felt you couldn't? Or?
It's kind of like game playing, right? So you're like, oh, yeah, so game playing is one, like wanting to be in a relationship and thinking I should wait. Like, that's how good girls behave.
Yeah. I hate that, because why would doing something really fun with someone make you less likely to want to do that fun thing again?
Oh, and it's so annoying. And there was this one man who I thought I was going to be in a relationship with, so I didn't have sex with him on the first date. And then he was like, actually, I don't think it's right. And it was like,
we could have just had sex
with me then. And then there's other people that I didn't have sex with because even though my body wanted to, because like they didn't fit the relationship template. Like, oh, he's too short, or he's too young, or I mean, like 21 or whatever, or 26.
Yeah, not like
not that young. Or like, you know, I wouldn't be able to date this man. Or
yeah, I think that makes sense. How about you? Is there anybody you'd unfuck?
Yeah, there's just some people that you know. You were like, I was like at the time, yeah, okay, sort of. And then it was, yeah, and then it was just rubbish. And I'm like, should have just been like, no. It wasn't like I've never had a terrible experience, but there were definitely like, you know, revisiting that 10 years later, I would have said, actually, no.
Should we just go home?
Yeah.
Get a curry.
Shall we? Yeah, go and get some food and just be friends. But, you know, there's always that temptation of like, should I just say yes? Like, I might have a nice time while it's happening.
Yeah.
And then you get there and you're like, no.
That was the wrong choice.
Yeah.
But there's the other thing as well, when you really want to have sex with someone, but like it's a first date, so you don't. And you both know that you want to have sex, but instead of saying, yes, I really want to have sex with you, you just keep on ordering drinks.
Mm.
So yeah. By the time, and then it gets to like 1 a.m. and you're both drunk and you're like, we really want to sleep with each other now.
So numb in the genitals. No feeling in the clitoris.
You have a kiss and it's just messy. And yeah. Then you're like, ugh.
And sometimes you hold off for too long and then you kind of lose that sexual spark
that
you had at the beginning.
But also, I just think it's the best, like, talking about going back to auditing, I think it's the best way. I would very much encourage people to sleep with somebody on one of the early dates, and here is for why. Number one, anybody who will not be in a relationship with you because you had sex on the first date is a dick. You don't want to date them anyway. He's out. Secondly, why would you not check that you like doing something with someone before you commit to doing it?
Yeah.
Makes a lot of sense. Try it out. Thirdly, sex is fun. And if you do something fun with someone, like if you went to a really great pizza restaurant and the pizza was great, you wouldn't be like, I'm never going there again because I've already had pizza from that restaurant. You'd be like, I love pizza, I'm going back to that restaurant.
Yeah.
Surely it works like that.
Yes. Although.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was going to say, although saying that, I agree with all of that. And I think you can do that, definitely. But I think you need a high degree of self-awareness and emotional stability within yourself. Because I went through this whole period where I was very much like boom and bust with people.
Mm-hmm.
So I would go in, do all of that, then freak out and like withdraw.
Yeah.
Kind of like a really man thing to
but
do.
But also, if we're using the pizza analogy, which I love.
Love pizza. God,
there
pizza.
Are loads of pizza restaurants that are great,
mm-hmm.
but some of them are more my taste than others.
Some of them use too much basil.
Yeah, and sometimes I might go to a pizza place, they use too much basil, and I'm like, that's it. I'm never having pizza there again.
But at least that's the key to knowing.
Yeah, but do you? Because sometimes the first time you have sex with someone that you end up going out with for years, it's clumsy and it doesn't quite work. But then as you get to know each other, it becomes amazing because you know each other better. And I think sometimes you can have amazing sex with someone and it not be a relationship, or you can judge the relationship on the sex. And, and obviously the two come hand in hand, but it's not, you know, you can grow together.
I don't think you should ever not continue seeing somebody because the first time you had sex wasn't great. Mm. But I think
it's the first time often isn't.
But I think you can tell a lot. I think how interested somebody was in learning, how much they were trying to make you come, how much they listened to you and you said, actually, I'm probably not going to come, how willing they were to use a condom if you wanted to use one. That stuff, I think you can tell a lot about somebody from.
Mm. I really am beginning to think that the most attractive quality you can have in a partner is willingness, which is completely not what I would have said even 5 years ago.
I think you're right, because I think willingness encompasses like generosity, but then actually, to be fair, I need somebody who has a lot of willingness with also a really strong backbone. And you need that mix of like,
that is interesting.
These are the things that I will not give on. And actually, one of the arguments me and my husband have most is that I feel that sometimes he gives in to me too easily. And I want to be able to have a bit of a butting.
Oh my
That's
God.
So funny. We had a very similar argument recently where he was like, are you going to just be bored in a few years because I'm like almost too nice?
Yeah.
And it's like, when you're a strong woman, you want to be able to like deal your hand and say what you want, but you also want someone who's a bit strong as well.
Yeah.
You want to feel, I call it like feeling handled. You just want to feel handled so that like, they can organise some stuff and you can kind of be yourself without it flowing like, I'm not explaining this very well, but I'm making lots of
hand gestures. No, I know what you mean.
Which is good for a podcast. Yeah.
My husband never gives in.
That's so interesting. Mm. So you probably need a little bit of each other's.
Yeah, I'm like, just one time. Yeah. Say you were wrong first. No, but I think just my personality, like I need someone who has backbone. Mm. I need someone who listens, I would say, more than willingness. Who listens, because he does take because he does take stuff in, but I like that he says no.
Yeah, and I think we can probably, I think ours is like a balancing act. And then sometimes we'll have a row about my husband not saying no enough, and then he'll go on a saying no binge for a week, and it's like, no, don't do that. Don't say we can't have curry because you're trying to make a point. It's finding that middle ground. Can I tell my personal dumb fuck story? Because I'm really proud
of
it.
Go on, tell your personal.
I once had sex with a guy because his wife made me a curry. So they were very sweet, and they really wanted to have a threesome, and they were sort of in their late 30s, early 40s, and they lived in this really nice little house, and they invited me over for a threesome, and she'd worked really hard on this lovely curry, which was so spicy I couldn't eat it, because curry's coming up a lot today.
threesome curry.
I know. Also, not the food for a threesome. Like, you want a nice little,
really not yeah, the you, food you for a threesome.
Like, light,
food.
Something light and fresh.
Something without strong smelling
something where your fingers haven't been in chilies all day.
Yeah.
But so yeah, she made this really nice curry that I couldn't eat because it was too spicy, and I was too polite to tell her I couldn't eat it, so my mouth was like swollen because I have very, very low spice tolerance. And then afterwards I let her husband have sex with me.
Oh, God.
Because I couldn't bring myself to say no. And that is who I would unfuck, and I would uneat the curry.
Yes.
I would delete that whole evening.
I would, but that's... I've got someone I would unfuck.
Who would you unfuck?
So, I mean, I haven't slept with a huge amount of people, but one of the ones that I, like, think about and sometimes regret is I met a guy on a plane.
This is quite a cool story.
For me, it's very cool. I met a guy on a plane, and I was coming back from my gap year, actually, and he, like, sent little notes down the aisle.
This is really cute!
And he ended up moving into the seat next to me, and I was flying back from Thailand, it was a long flight, and we ended up kissing on the flight. We got, like, you know, it's honestly actually quite fun, because it was
like
gap year,
like...
Yeah, and he was in, like, one of those custom-made suits that you get a bit of, you know, like, they come back in, like, a purple satin suit.
Yeah, because it cost them like £7.
It was a purple satin suit. And we kissed on the plane, and we got quite drunk because there was loads of like little minis they're bringing around. And then, and that was really, and I wish I'd kept that as like a memory. Mm. But we met up like a few weeks later and had terrible, terrible sex. We had like no connection. The whole like magic of the plane was gone. It was so dry. I was not into it.
Yeah, dry. Dry is a word that is not good.
There is no space for dryness in sex.
I was just thinking. I have a similar person who I would probably unfuck, because the problem is that I created this whole imaginary, I wanted to try and have sex with my imaginary version of him.
Mm.
And it turned out you know, we were at uni, he seemed really like life and soul of the party, he seemed really like aristocrat. I was like, wow, really like this person. I remember after he left in the morning, I marched straight to the washing machine in the main building to like wash my sheets, because I was like,
Do you think we have this thing as women, like, do you think men have this of like feeling sorry for people so we have sex with them?
Definitely
like,
not.
Where does that come from? Because that's not right.
So my parents told me a story about a friend of theirs who went home with a woman at the end of a night out in their sort of early 20s, and they went up to her flat, and obviously this was leading towards sex. Then she said, I want to make you some coffee. She realised she didn't have any milk, so he offered to go out and get some milk, and then on the way down the stairs thought, actually, do you know what, she's not that fit, just didn't come back. And that's the sort of thing that boys do, because they don't give you pity sex. But also, I don't think men sit around talking about unfucking people, because I think men are taught that the bigger your number, the better, and it's a conquest and it's an achievement and blah 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 blah. So why would you undo it? Because it's still, you know, an achievement. You still plunged your sword somewhere, which is very depressing and very outdated.
But a little conquery.
Yeah. And with the people you'd unfuck, do you regret having done? Did you regret it when it was happening, or were you like?
I was lying there thinking, how long can sex take? Because I was 19, and I was like, on balance, surely it's going to be over quite soon. And then eventually, I think probably it was about a minute and a half in, I was like, can we stop, please? And I was about to say, in their defence, they stopped, but actually, it's not in their defence, that's what you're supposed to do.
Yeah.
As they should have done, they were like, oh, okay, sure. But then he refused to walk me back to the station because he'd had a shit night. Wow. And I was like, oh, I'm sorry that I didn't save your marriage. And then they got divorced.
Wow.
So on some level, I think that's probably my fault.
You just walked into a very energetically messy situation.
Yeah.
Yes.
Unfortunately.
Yes.
I've had people who halfway through, I didn't want it and I didn't know how to say it. I mean, it's because I was much younger, but I remember one man watching this. It's awful, isn't it? I watched this bead of sweat like dripping down his forehead, and I was like, that sweat is going to drip onto me.
And if it's somebody really fancy, if it's somebody you're really into, that can be quite sexy. If it's somebody you've gone off, that is just repulsive.
It was just like, I'm watching this bead of sweat move. Is this what it's come to?
Did it get you?
Yeah, did it get you?
Did it plopped onto my chest.
At least it wasn't in your face.
Yeah, I mean, I think at that point, like, it was pretty much over.
Yeah.
That's a bad way to go. On topic of
sex. This is about sex.
My bridge was not as good as it was meant to be.
Do you want to try it again?
Yeah, so I'd like to bring things onto contraception.
Okay.
Because when we're talking about safe sex and enjoyable sex, I'd like to know about your kind of like your journey with contraception, as it were, and where you came to with it now.
Well, I have a big one, but so I got pregnant twice within, well, 2 years, when I was 21 and 22, and both times the first time I was using condoms, the second time I was on the pill, nothing was really working for me. I knew the pill wasn't working for me the first time, which is why I was using condoms, because it was just throwing me out left, right and centre in terms of my mood. I was putting on weight. Then I just wasn't feeling sexy at all. I was moody. I was grumpy. It was just the worst. So, of course, you know, it was never a good contraceptive thing for me. And I'm on the coil now and it worked really well. Mm-hmm. Although they put in the wrong coil initially. So they put in a hormone coil instead of the coil. But I just don't do hormones well. It just doesn't, my body doesn't like it. It just feels off the whole time.
Yeah.
And this contraceptive works really well for me. And I love it.
How old were you when you first got the coil?
Probably about 23. I mean, after the second one, I was just like, I have to actually do something about this.
But still, I mean, it's still crazy. I mean, I don't know when you started having sex, but that sounds like it's, what, at least sort of 4 or 5 years of trying different things before you found the right thing for you.
Yeah, and I think that they don't tend to, or at least then they didn't tend to offer the coil to women that hadn't had children.
Yes, because your cervix is less open.
Yeah.
And so it's a harder process to insert it.
Yeah. And they tell you it's very painful, and it is quite painful. But it's probably not as emotionally painful as having 2 terminations. So I think probably would have rather have had
a coil. I think there's a real stigma about multiple abortions. I think we've got to a stage where one is sort of, particularly if you're very young, or, you know, there's lots of things they'll put in place. And whenever they talk about abortion, they always talk about sort of teenage rape victims, as if that's the acceptable face of abortion. Everything else is just us being, you know, naughty women. But I think two, when you get into having multiples, I think women are much less willing to talk about it.
Well, I think there's actually a really high rate of, if you have one, having a second one.
Yeah, I can imagine.
And it makes sense in a way, because if you didn't sort it out the first time, you're more likely to not be able to sort it out right the second time.
Mm.
And then there's this added layer of shame, which means you don't ever even look at it.
Yeah.
I mean, I remember after the first one, them talking to you about contraception, and I was like, well, I'm never going to sleep with anyone ever again.
Yeah.
I mean, I was just in, like, rampant denial. I was, like, trying to crack jokes throughout the whole process. I was just not in a place to be conscious around it. And I do think also, I think whether you make, and there's a lot of focus on, like, whether you make the right decision or not. It's all around, like, the decision-making process. The thing is, like, that's just one part of it, and, like, that's the thing at the time. But then afterwards, I think it's also, there's, like, another different process for some people, not everyone. And that can also be quite difficult as well.
Mm. I think also when you talk about right decision or wrong decision, my understanding has always been that whichever one you pick will inevitably end up being the right decision, because your life becomes your life.
Right, and it can be the right decision, and you can still have regrets.
Yeah, exactly. Mm. I think, like with anything else in life, I think really that we put this thing on right or wrong decision about abortion in a way that we don't with really anything else. Mm.
But I think there's that. It's because we've been, you know, I come from an Irish Catholic family, so, you know, there's piles and piles of shame on top of us from generations of women in our families and around us who were told that, you know, that's a bad thing to do. So, of course, it's difficult if we go through it to then, you know, find our personal reaction to it when we've had so much input from external forces.
Yeah.
Right, and that's why I think it's so important to talk about and be really conscious about, because so that the next generation of women who come up behind us can actually have a conversation about it that's not like right or wrong, good or bad. Mm. Like, there's just a whole spectrum of things associated around it.
Mm.
And so many, like one in four women, I think, have one.
Yeah. And I think also I notice now sometimes I talk to friends about it and they'll talk about their mum having had one. And we're the first generation whose parents it was relatively common to have had one. I think that's helping. And again, I think, you know, if and when we have children, our daughters, whether we have or not, we will all know somebody who has. Lots of us probably will have gone to the clinic with somebody. We'll all be better allies to our daughters when it comes to having that conversation.
And having that understanding.
Yeah.
I mean, I do always think it's better to get the right contraception to start off with.
Yeah.
But then that's so difficult. So I had a very similar experience to you with the pill. I hate it. It does. I cannot take it. I get random periods. My boobs become uneven. My sex drive goes completely into the ground. It doesn't work for me. And I feel guilty not wanting it because, you know, it was a massive liberation and it was a huge step forward for women. But for me, it doesn't work. Mm. So my husband and I use condoms, and people are horrified when I say that. People are genuinely shocked. And people are like, oh, well, does he not hate that? And it's like, well, I'm sure he'd rather not use condoms, but he realises that we have sex for, say, I don't know, 7 hours a month or 5 hours a month, maybe slightly more than that. I don't know. Let's say we have sex for 10 hours a month. Let's say we have sex for 48 hours a month. Just for ease of numbers, let's say we're having sex for 10 hours a month. That's 10 hours when we need to be using contraception. Why would it make sense for me to be using contraception all the other hours of the month, which makes me unhappy and does bad things to my body, rather than just that time?
And also, if people are like, oh, doesn't he not like it? Like, he can deal with it.
Yeah,
like, there's two of you in that relationship. Yeah.
And also, you know, we are a little bit, you know, we will do stuff like if I'm on my period, given that we're married and we're thinking about having children at some point in the near future, if I'm on my period, I'm happy to not use a condom. And if by some freak chance I got pregnant on my period, that would be fine. Mm-hmm. And actually, it's a very nice stage to get to where you're not sort of trying, but it also wouldn't be a disaster.
Yeah.
And you could sort of be a little bit careless, but not desperately.
Yeah.
Quite enjoying that.
I think the whole point of contraception is that we have choices. And I feel like if you're in a relationship, all of a sudden it's like, right, you're on the pill, that's it. And it's like, the whole point is that we have options. And I'm the same. I don't want to have something that really affects my mood.
I have a different contraception story in that I was put on the pill when I was 16 because I have polycystic ovaries. So I was put on the pill not as contraception but to regulate my periods and get rid of some of the side effects of polycystic ovaries. So I was then on the pill for sort of coming up for 10 years, and I was diagnosed with clinical anxiety and I was having mood swings. I found it difficult to lose weight and things like that, and that's when I started thinking that maybe the pill wasn't necessarily a good thing because I'd been put on it so young and I'd kind of just religiously stuck to it. And so then I tried different pills which had different effects, and eventually I came off the pill. Like, I'm 31 now, so probably about 2 or 3 years ago, and it's just, I'm still anxious, but it made me realize when I came off how much it exacerbated thing, you know, my anxiety that was already there and my moods and because polycystic ovaries, you have a massive imbalance with your hormones anyway. Like, the pill like wasn't helping. So I've felt so much better since I've come off it. And yeah, me and my husband just use condoms now because I can't face getting a coil because it sounds too painful.
I think my thing is it sounds great, but I want to have kids like sort of maybe in an 18 month time. So it seems like a lot of aggro to have it put in to then have it taken out.
It's actually fine. It is painful, but it's fine.
Mm, that's interesting.
How painful? Yeah. Do you have a tattoo?
No.
Have you ever stubbed your toe really hard?
Yeah, it's on that level.
Okay.
Is it?
And for how long?
It's painful, right? It's painful and it feels weird. It feels like... Have you ever had really hard sex? Like deep sex? Like when it goes
when it
deep.
Hits the top of you, yeah.
It's that sort of feeling for about 30 seconds to a minute.
Oh, so not long.
Yeah.
I had a bit of my cervix clipped off.
Did you?
Well, then you'll be
fine. To be tested, and that was a real shock. It's sort of not painful, but your body's in shock.
Like, your body's like, why is something up there? That, we don't do that. Was that smear test related?
Yes, because
everyone get your smear test, guys.
Yeah.
Everyone get your smear test.
It's a bit like having it's a bit more uncomfortable than having a smear test.
I didn't find my smear test that bad. No, I didn't love it. It wasn't like a fun
clipping
day.
A bit off is one of the worst. Things that's ever happened. I was like, expect a small pinch, and then
in your
I started crying, and I was just tears were streaming down my face. And my gynecologist was like, "Are you okay?" And I was like, "Yeah," and just completely crying. Like I was,
so
my body was in shock.
When I had mine adjusted, I had a nurse come in, or I think it might have even been the receptionist because a guy was there was a male doctor doing it. And she started asking me about what drinks I liked, but instead I was like, I'm really going to need to sing. Like, can you just sing with me? Because I cannot concentrate on, like, gin and tonics.
That's
like,
really
just,
sweet.
Can we just sing? And she was like, sure, what do you want to sing? And I couldn't think of anything, so I just started singing, hello. And then she was like, hello. And I just started singing,
God.
Hello.
I love that.
Bless him.
I just cried.
Well, on that note, guys, get your sniffer tests, and thank you so much for all of your wisdom.
We will be seeing you in the next segment when we talk about questions that our listeners have sent in.
This is the Ask Me Anything section, where people send in questions to us and we use the usable ones that are not totally ridiculous or illegal. If you send us a question saying, how do I make my girlfriend do X? We're not going to tell you how to do that. Talk to her. So we have assembled you a group of wonderful experts who are going to talk to you, who are going to answer your questions. So should we just go around and say who we are?
I'm Sarah. I'm 26 and I'm single.
I'm Samantha Baines. I'm 31 and I'm married.
I am Rebecca Reed. I am 27 and I am married.
I'm Felicity Morse. I'm 30 and I'm in a new relationship.
I'm the old.
Right, so first question actually pertains to something we talked about a little bit earlier. We have an anonymous woman in her mid-20s who says that her boyfriend is refusing to use condoms, but she says he doesn't want to use condoms, but she doesn't want to go on the pill or get any other kinds of contraception. What do we think she should do?
Tricky. Leave him and find someone else.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Like, why doesn't he want to use condoms? I mean,
he apparently
always say that.
He said it doesn't
feel the same. Or get better condoms that aren't
skin condoms are bloody brilliant. Also, Lilo do a hex condom, which I'm told is good.
Or get condoms that like have ribbing, or like try different, you know, textures to see what you prefer. Yeah. All condoms aren't bad, and yes, it doesn't feel the same, but it could feel better. Get over it.
I just want to know why she's the one emailing in and he isn't.
Because he's the boy and he wants to have unprotected sex with his lovely man penis. He shouldn't have to do any work.
We need to have a conversation about responsibility.
Yes.
Who's the
one who can get someone pregnant? Who's the one who should... My thing, so I had sex with a guy at university, my one and only ever one-night stand, and he kept trying to take the condom off. So halfway through, I was like, wait, you want a baby? And he was like, no. And I was like, well, then why are you taking the condom off? And then he put the condom back on.
Same one.
New one. I kept handing them to him. It had been a while. I had a big stash.
I would, if I was going to give actual advice, I would say, could they make it fun? Like, could they play with it? As in, give him a mission. We're going to have the best sex you've ever had using condoms. Like,
that's really good.
We're going to try all the different things and all the different lubes.
Because you know when you don't want to do something and your mum's like, I'll time you when you're a child. Like, I'll see how quick
quickly you can put your shoes on. You're like, all right, I'll show you. Basically, it's that, but
like,
for grown-ups.
Make it a game.
Yeah.
Like, make it a game and make it fun.
I think that's a really good suggestion.
Don't make it, like, I think sometimes when we start talking about safety, even though it's actually quite a sexy word for women, it's not a very sexy word for men.
Mm.
So somehow it's like, how do you make it sexy? How can you make it sexy?
I mean, I still, my instinct probably is still leave him, but I'm always going to say one of my favourite things to do is to be on Mum's Net reading all about other people's problems, and their response to everything is they write LTB, which means leave the bastard. So it'll be stuff like, and honestly, it'll be stuff like, my husband bought new shower gel. Does this mean he's having an affair? And the replies will be like, yes, leave him.
Oh my god!
Your marriage is dead. Get your stuff, Sandra.
You should encourage him to look for male, you know, help the search for male contraceptives.
Mm.
Yes.
This is a very good point.
So mind, and he should, if he doesn't, you know, if she, he doesn't want her to take responsibility, then he should look for it for him.
Yeah,
I like go that.
Go and be in a test study for the male contraceptive jab.
I do think it's super important not to, you know, just leave him. I know it's very easy to say yes. that, and I know it's fun.
I think it depends. To be serious, I think it depends how he's being about it. I don't think I would be able to have a satisfactory long-term relationship with somebody who put active pressure on me to take medication that makes me sick, which the pill does. So I, to me, that would be somebody putting their need for slightly better sex or above my health.
Right, but it's like having him understand that,
I suppose,
that is what the other option is for you.
I think maybe the thing is, we don't know whether she has said, I don't want to be on the pill because it makes me depressed or it kills my sex drive.
I mean, the key is always communication, isn't it?
Yeah.
I think they just need to sit down and have an honest chat, and she just needs to be clear about what she does and doesn't want to do.
And I think it's also about, like, owning it. So being, when you're totally okay with something, other people get on board with it. Like, if you're like, these are my rates for money, then and you don't say, oh, I'm so sorry, but like, I have to charge this much because X, Y, and Z, then somebody else is like, okay, fine. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like, these are the boundaries, and
that's it.
Take it or leave it.
Right, and I'm totally fine with that.
Yeah.
But, like, it's up to you now.
Mm-hmm. So we've fixed her life. And the other person who messaged in said that her boyfriend wants to have a threesome. And she's not averse to it. I haven't actually got all the details here. I've just written boyfriend wants threesome. But I remember she said she was not averse to it, but she was nervous about the idea. What do we think? Is that? And I think she, so she said they had been in a long-term relationship. She didn't say how long. Do we think that's a total no-no, or is that a maybe?
I think it's really good to try and find somebody else in your network that might have done it and just explore a bit what it felt like for them, and if you can try and put yourself in that situation and see if you'd be okay with it. But don't know.
I think that's a really good idea. I think talking to somebody who has, like, maybe a shared value, somebody who is like you, and seeing how they got on with it.
And then maybe just putting down, like, if she does decide to go ahead with it, putting down boundaries with her partner and saying, like, I'm happy for this, I'm not happy for this to happen.
I think it's about, like, asking yourself the right questions. So it's like, what do I want from this? What do I, like, what safety nets do I need from this? What do I need before? What do I need after? What do I need during?
Mm-hmm.
And being so clear. And the important thing also is to take responsibility for your own desire going into that.
Mm-hmm.
So as long as you want to, it's as long as you don't come out the other end and then turn around and be like, okay, I didn't take any responsibility for myself throughout that whole process.
Yeah.
And now I've come out and I feel terrible.
Mm. I think also it's tricky because I think what she was saying originally was that she finds the idea of it arousing, but that she finds the reality worrying. And I think that maybe there are some fantasies, I'm not saying this is necessarily one of them, but I think some fantasies perhaps belong better in the hypothetical. Like, I know my husband and I talk about stuff during sex that we're never actually going to do, because it's really, like, exciting to talk about it. But I know that the fallout would be too much, and I know that I would struggle with jealousy. But I think also if we were going to have a threesome, which we've talked about before, I think I'd want to see, like, a professional escort, because there's, like, a boundary there of, I know she doesn't want my husband because she is busy and can have lots of men. Whereas if it's somebody kind of more sort of in our network, somebody we know, that's really awkward, maybe a bit embarrassing. Something like that. So who you do it with is a big question.
But then I guess some people might feel more comfortable if they know the person.
Yeah. I'd feel more comfortable with an escort.
I would too.
I would be one of the more attractive people she'd seen that week, because I'm not a very fat, hairy man. Lots of generalisations.
And also...
I love love her.
But also, she'd be a professional about it. Mm. There'd be no emotion.
Yeah, she's not going to be like,
presumably.
Oh, she was fatter than I was expecting.
I also think there might be somewhere that they could play along the way. So maybe not straight to full sex.
Yes. They do a thing with sort of killing kittens and sex club like that called soft swap, where you do sort of everything but penetration. I think you do oral and manual sex and kissing.
Manual.
But yeah, you do sort of everything but sort of penises going into people's vaginas / anuses. And that seems like quite a good way to maybe soft pedal it to start with.
Mm. I think it comes again down to communication, like that. You work out at the beginning that you're sort of together in it and that you build some kind of like way of like knowing that throughout the whole experience, and you kind of feel that it's something that's for both of you. And if through that conversation before doing it, then it works out that it isn't, then like maybe it's not the right thing.
Yeah. I think also for me, if you're going to have a threesome, maybe it's better to do it earlier in your relationship when the stakes are a little bit less high. And then you set a precedent early on. I think if you're married with 3 children, that's a lot to risk. Whereas if you've been going out for a couple of months and it's something you're sort of interested in, maybe that's a good time to start.
Maybe it's exactly what you need when you've got
children. Yeah, true. Spice it up. Mind you, I feel like by the time you've got 3 kids, probably what you need is a really good sleep.
But also, are you going to lose the relationship and your kids just off a threesome?
Not necessarily, but I guess it's maybe a risk. I don't know. I think because of my background in open relationships, I'm hyper cautious about sort of bringing other people into the bedroom. Maybe more so than is necessarily reasonable or healthy.
Mm.
Oh, I don't think you can be cautious enough. I think it takes a really high degree of like emotional maturity to start. I mean, it's hard enough to hang on to yourself in a relationship, like, and onto what you want and your own sense of self, let alone bring in, you know, a third party.
Yeah, I totally agree. I also think you have a responsibility to that third person. If they're not somebody you pay, I mean, you still do if you paid them, but different. But if it's somebody you know, you know, you can't just fuck them.
So the person
and then
gets forgotten. They're just like, yes, they're the tool. And then like, what if like they are part of your network?
Yeah.
I don't know.
And even if they're not, what about their needs? What if they feel rubbish about themselves afterwards? What if they feel lonely? What if they need somebody to talk to? And are you going to feel comfortable if they need people to talk to you afterwards? Therefore, they're coming over for a cup of tea. And, you know, that blurs boundaries. But you do have a responsibility to someone if you bring them into your relationship and have sex with them, I think. Another woman messaged us and said that she is in a monogamous relationship, but she's having fantasies about women and she wants to experiment with women. But obviously she's in a happy relationship and she doesn't want to lose it. So that's a bit of a tricky one.
So I'm bi. So I would obviously say it depends what her problem is, whether it's, you know, shame about being attracted to women or wanting to have sex with women outside the relationship. I mean, I think it's still cheating, obviously.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, how strong is this pull? And is it a bi thing or is it like I don't want to have sex with men anymore?
Yeah. I always feel like, and I know this is really bad, I would be much less angry if my husband cheated on me with another man, because I would feel like that was something I couldn't have fulfilled. Like, I could never have been a man. So I guess that's something I haven't got. Whereas if it was with a woman, I'd be like, but I have all those things. What's wrong with me?
But sometimes it's just about the person, though, isn't
it?
And
I'm not sure it's a logical thing. I think it's just, I think I would feel less competitive.
Yeah.
Like, what, you know, when people are like, oh, what does she have that I don't? Well, I would know what he had that I don't.
Yeah. A penis.
Yes.
I don't know. I also, I guess, are the fantasies about a woman in particular that she's met or that she knows? Or is it just about women? Or is she just watching, like, lesbian porn or something?
Very normal.
Yeah.
I can't remember the statistic off the top of my head, but a very large number of women watch lesbian porn who are straight.
Yeah.
Go ahead. I don't know, I just have this feeling that she should go and explore that feeling.
Yeah.
Like, what if you just never do? Or you can find some kind of agreement in her current relationship that allows her to do that, because I just think it's so important that you don't get sort of stuck, because, and that you don't, like, you get older and older and then you get more and more committed and you have these thoughts that are always there that you've never explored.
And you could sleepwalk into a sort of very long-term monogamous straight relationship without ever having given yourself a chance.
I think the other thing is that it's worth saying that start having these conversations now with her boyfriend, or she feels able to, because I know that one of the things that people do is they go online and so they sign up to like dating apps, and this is the same for men, and then they start, you know, experimenting with flirting with people of the same sex, but then before you know it, you're having sex chat with somebody outside your relationship, and it's still, it's just going to fuck you up more.
Would you consider that cheating? Sex chat with somebody outside your relationship?
I mean, if I was seeing someone and they signed up to, you know, something like Tinder and they were having sex chat with somebody else,
That's an interesting question. Would you guys?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I think I would too, but I know people who have said that they don't consider that cheating because it's not physical, but it's quite a...
I mean, I wouldn't see it as cheating in the same way as actually sleeping with someone else. I wouldn't love it.
Yeah.
I'd prefer it to actual penetration, but I wouldn't love it.
Yeah, if I had to pick between the two, that's what I'd pick, I guess. But then I guess in some ways, if you're doing that, surely that's showing a need within yourself, so that's quite worrying.
I think it's more like, why can't you say this? And if you can't say this, like, it's just an act, it's a disconnection there. There's like even more disconnection coming up.
No, I totally agree. So, my potentially bisexual friend of the podcast, we think that you should try and see and find a way to experiment. I think that's the general consensus.
Right.
Thank you so much, guys. That was amazing. And a brief reminder to anybody who's listening, please do share, like us, subscribe, and, you know, all those things. Thank you so much to our amazing guests.
I'm Samantha Baines, and you can follow me on Twitter at Samantha Baines, B-A-I-N-E-S, and I'm on Instagram and Facebook too. And I have a podcast called Periods, Amazing Women in History. Nice. And it's about celebrating brilliant lost women from the past, and it's on iTunes and Acast.
And if you're listening to us, you clearly like podcasts, so this is a good audience for you.
Yes, please.
Wow, I'm going to have to listen to that podcast. And... if you also don't only like to listen, but also to read, I have a...
if you have both eyes and ears.
I have a book, and it's out on the 6th of September. Waterstones and Amazon and lots of other places. And it's called Give a Fuck. It's about how to care without getting burnt out, drinking whiskey, crying with the bathroom door closed. Any of those things. And I'm Felicity Morse at Felicity Morse on all the platforms,
all of the socials,
multi-platforms.
There we go, guys, so people can find as much of you as they would like. Thank you guys so much for listening. If you have enjoyed it, please like, subscribe, share,
rate, review, just do everything.
Just do everything. If you could just do all of our work for us, that would be great. And please join us next week when we are talking about
bondage,
kinky sex,
and blindfold,
whips and chains,
everything. It's going to get kinky next
week. It's going to be filthy.
Been a Candy Store production, hosted by Angelica Malin and Rebecca Reed, produced by Van Connor. Sex with OS by Mobile Steam Unit appears under Creative Commons 3.0. Visit Candy Store Productions at candystoreproductions.co.uk.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.